FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Anybody would have written this script with the exception of FC Radio.
So, hello everybody and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. Coming up on this week's show, shortly, we're going to be looking back at Sunday afternoon's action between FC United and Manchester's women's team against Liverpool Feds in the first round of the FA Cup. But before that, it's the news that broke late last week that the FA has received approval from government that will allow a limited number of spectators to be allowed into grounds, even if they're in Tier 3. However, a limited return of FC United supporters basically equates to 300 supporters being allowed back in. So for reaction to this news, on Sunday afternoon before the women's team game, I caught up with FC United board member Adrian Seddon.
Adrian, a big thank you for joining us here for the women's team today. But we've had a little bit of movement when it comes to the men's team and coming out of lockdown. I mean, can you give us an update?
Yeah, so I think there was a couple of MPs that wrote to Oliver Dowden saying that the current regulations whereby we couldn't have spectators at any Tier 3 level was impossible for the clubs, because without that revenue the clubs just couldn't exist. And there was a clarification that followed from Huddleston, the sports minister, that said that actually at Tier 3 spectators would be allowed. There's been, I think, a frantic couple of days between the FA and the DCMS to work out exactly what that meant, and they've come back with new clarification that at Tier 3 we're entitled to have spectators, but not at the levels we've had so far. So you may remember back in the summer we had to have a game at what they called Stage 1, which was 15% of the minimum ground grading for our league, and that's what they brought in. So for us, that means that with immediate effect, we're entitled to have 300 spectators in the ground. But as we're in Tier 3, there's no food and beverage allowed whatsoever, because at Tier 3, food and beverage is only allowed as a takeaway. And what's been decided is that anywhere within our premises counts as being on our premises and therefore not a takeaway. So you can't, for instance, serve a beer or some from the SMRE bar or some chips from the chip cabin and then go to the stands and eat it. That's still within our premises and that's not a takeaway. So effectively, we can have 300 supporters, no food and drink. So, I mean, these things always come out at the last minute. We found out about this at 4:30 on Thursday afternoon. We've got a Women's FA Cup game today, Sunday, and we've sort of had to do our best to get it on for the, you know, so spectators can come in and watch the game. That's what we want. And spectators could come in today. And unfortunately, there's no food and beverage in the ground, but at least we can get 300 people in. So for the women's team, you know, that probably works. But for the men's team, that provides still some serious issues for us, because obviously we've got 900 season ticket and LMTB holders. So deciding how we're going to get, it's not 300 we'd get in, because obviously we still have to give the away fans an allocation. So it'd be 255 home fans, 45 away fans, and no food and beverage. So what money does that bring into the club? You know, the season, it'll only be season ticket holders that can get in. So that money's already been given to the club at the start of the season. And once they're in the ground, they can't spend any more money. So effectively, it's going to mean that we're running matches at a big loss. For us, it's a big problem. You know, our level, we rely on selling tickets and we rely on people spending money in the ground. And we're not going to have any of that. We're lucky in a way that we've had the FA Cup run. So we've had a big increase in revenue from that, which means that we probably can get through the season, even if we had to play with those restrictions. But, you know, from talking to other chairmen and talking to other clubs, a lot of clubs are not in the same position as us, and to resume now without any food and beverage money and such low numbers of spectators would be a financial disaster for most clubs at our level. I've seen a really good statement from Clivero, if you have a look on their website, explaining what it means for them, and just you know, they're the league below us, so they're entitled to 200 fans. They've got 200 season ticket holders. There'd be no more revenue coming in because that money's already come in season tickets, no food and beverage, and they've said, look, we just can't restart in those conditions. So we wait and see. The league have not said anything to us. You know, there's a review plan for the 16th of December. I'm not sure if that review is going to be brought forward or not now, and I'm not sure whether the clubs will be given another vote or not. So we'll wait and see what the league say to us, probably at the beginning of next week. If we're told we have to play, then we'll have to play. If it's put to a vote, then I'll speak to Paul Smith, our operations manager. I'll speak to Neil Reynolds, our football manager. And based on those conversations, I'll get back to the board and we'll have a discussion about how the club votes. But for us, financially, playing with 300 supporters in the ground is worse than not playing at all financially. So it's not good news.
So the last time we spoke was on the MPL show a couple of weeks ago. And I asked you the question, well, it was a statement more than a question. The communication from the FA and government hasn't been the best. Judging by what you said there about the way this announcement was made, that's still not improved. And there's still a general lack of understanding, I think, about what it takes to run a football club at Step 3 and below. For FC United and for clubs like South Shields and Scarborough, this is the worst case scenario, isn't it? Where, you know, they're dangling a carrot for clubs who can afford 300 attendances to carry on. It's just not viable, is it, for FC United and South Shields and the like?
Yeah, I think for us it's definitely not viable. But I think where you find that it maybe it was different to when it was 600 fans, and for most teams they could work within that. I think a lot of teams might be all right with 300 fans at our level in the ground, or might be all right with 200 fans in the ground at the level below us, but they can't operate without the clubhouse, and that's a big one. You know, teams rely on that income from food and beverage. They, you know, they don't rely on just numbers in the ground. So I think there's a lot more people affected by this than when it was playing at 600, which affected South Shields, Scarborough and us, and maybe a handful of others. Now this affects a lot more clubs. And the meetings we had prior to the initial decision to suspend the league with, you know, all the clubs in the MPL, there were a lot of clubs that were as concerned by the lack of food and beverage sales as they were about ticket numbers. So it'll be interesting if we get in a vote to see how it goes, but I don't think that just because we can have some fans in the ground that will change the decision of the clubs. I think the food and beverage is just as important, and I can't see this bringing fans back at the moment.
So in that regard, you know, there's a distant hope on social media that we might be all back for Boxing Day. There's a lot of boxes to be ticked before then. I mean, it's a Trident Alliance system as well, so it's not just Northern Premier League clubs, it's across the board, and it's still a faint distant hope, isn't it? Or are we, I mean, what needs to happen now, do you think, for us to get back to where we were? Is it to get back to where we were before lockdown?
Yeah, I think in order for us to definitely say, look, you know, we're going to restart, I think it would need some sort of change in the government's restrictions that allows us to open our bars and takeaway outlets in the ground, and to have some sort of system like we had before lockdown. I mean, that didn't work for us, let's not get it wrong, we were losing money on that, but it worked for enough clubs to make it viable to run the league. I think if you look at the moment, there's every speculation that London may go into Tier 3, which would bring a lot of clubs into the same sort of mix as we've got now. And if you look at, you know, in areas like ours where most teams are in Tier 3, it was almost unanimous that we don't play. And it was, I think there was only four or five clubs that said no, that wanted to restart in our three leagues run by the MPL. It was a lot closer in the Isthmian League, where there were a lot of clubs in Tier 2, but even with that, there was still a vote not to restart. And I think, you know, the way it's going, there'll probably be more clubs in Tier 3 if London goes into Tier 3 than there were before. So, you know, it's not just us, it's not just our league, it's the three Trident leagues, which is hundreds of clubs. And at the moment, I think the feeling is that under the current conditions, clubs can't restart. You've also got the problem that you're talking about potentially restarting at Christmas, maybe even Boxing Day, and that's difficult for clubs. We can't just at 3 or 4 days' notice, like we've done for this women's team game, we can't suddenly just arrange a game on Boxing Day. We've got to have all the infrastructure in place, and that includes, you know, getting the right number of stewards and staff in, and people, you know, people are going to be, there's been this relaxation of rules, people are going to be away with family on Boxing Day, and you can't say it 2 or 3 days notice, oh, we're restarting. Players haven't been playing. Our players, I know that Neil's given them, and the coaching staff have given them fitness plans to work to. I know they've been working hard on that. Speaking to Neil, they have to send proof of what they've done, you know, and they've even had some team Zoom sessions where they've done fitness together as a team, but on Zoom. So that's great, but that's not match fit. And we've got this scenario now where certain clubs are still in the FA Trophy, and they'll have 3 rounds in December, the teams that get through. So they'll be much more match fit. I think some of these clubs are also playing friendlies because, you know, if your players are off furlough because they're training again, you might as well play friendlies. And they'll be match fit, whereas we're not. So if we, you know, in the early days, if we get a team that has been training and has been playing, we're going to be so far behind them. So it's a worry. And, yeah, I think dropping these announcements 2 or 3 days before a game isn't helpful. Well, that seems to be the way things are going at the moment.
FC United board member Adrian Seddon there speaking to me on Sunday afternoon following that announcement that fans will be allowed back into stadiums in Tier 3. But, as we discussed there, still some way to go to getting the season back underway. And since that interview was recorded on Monday morning, the league has made a statement which reads, "The Trident Leagues welcome the decision to allow some fans into grounds situated in Tier 3 areas. However, in light of the decision of all 224 clubs only last week to vote overwhelmingly in favour of suspending the current season, the leagues have decided to wait to see the implications of the government's review of the tier systems in England, and that is due on Wednesday before making any further announcements." And of course, we'll have more on this news on next week's This Club Is My Club. But let's turn to matters now on the pitch and to the women's team. And on Sunday afternoon, they hosted Liverpool Feds in the first round of this season's FA Cup. And to hear how FC United got on, let's hand over to Women's Team Live on Sunday afternoon. Hello everybody and welcome to Women's Team Live, and you join us here back at Broadhurst Park. It's FC United of Manchester against Liverpool Feds in the first round proper of this season's Women's FA Cup, and you join us here in the gloom of North Manchester. It's been raining all afternoon, but here to lighten your ears and your eyes, it's Stato Paul.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Is it fine.
Good to be back.
It is. It's been, what, 5 weeks?
5 weeks. We did have women's team last week. That was away at Tranmere Rovers, and it didn't go all too well for FC United. There was an air of Marsh United for the men's team about it, just before, you know, the big fixture down the track. FC United losing in the league to Tranmere Rovers last week by 6-0. First defeat of the season, that, Paul.
And our heaviest of all time, I think.
Yeah, what, I mean,
where do we come back from that?
Yeah, how do we come back from that?
Well, in the FA Cup, interestingly, Liverpool Feds are a division above us, and that's the National League Division 1 North, and we've already beaten two sides in that competition already in this season in the Cup, and that's Norton and Stockton, who are third, and Chorley, who are seventh, and currently the Feds are in ninth, but they've only played twice, and other clubs have played 6 times, so misleading at the moment, league positions.
For FC United, though, I mean, the away win at Norton and Stockton Ancients, they've had such a great cup run where they've been putting teams to the sword, really.
Yeah, obviously, this is the FA Cup. We've already beaten sides of this stature before, so this is not new to us. It's a challenge, but it's one that we're capable of rising to.
What is new, like we said, is just the fact, you know, our first league defeat of the season last week. Admittedly, it was only our third league game of the season, though, so it's a bit too early to tell where we are. But I think FC United are going to be a bit different this afternoon with this challenge that they've got.
I think playing back on the broad acres of Broadhurst, they're familiar to this surface and this venue now. Whether the Feds can adapt to it is an issue. They ground share with South Liverpool, I don't know if you know that, Jericho Lane. It's the first time we've ever played them, so there's going to be a lot of searching from both sides, I think.
In yesteryear, we used to play their reserve side, didn't we?
Yeah.
Marshall Feds.
But they've disbanded from that now. They're not part of Marshall Feds anymore.
Okay.
So they've broken out on their own, because the Marshall Feds were a men's team, basically. So, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting game, and let's hope that we can bounce back quickly from the disasters of last week.
And we're live on FCM TV. A big thank you to Howard for volunteering this afternoon on camera. He's underneath a big giant umbrella because it is raining, but the pitch is holding up quite well. Apart from the 6 yard boxes in both ends, they're quite chewed up at the moment. A big welcome now to radio listeners who are joining us. FC United taking on Liverpool Feds this afternoon. For those new viewers and listeners joining us, some cracking players who've been long servants for FC United over the years. Firstly, yeah, we have to say Kirsty Chambers, who scored a bagload already this season.
Yeah, and she's stuck with the side through all the years since 2012. If she scores today, it's her 20th FA Cup goal, regardless of all the other goals she scored.
That's amazing. I'll give you the team. It's Chloe Ainsworth, Alicia Marsh at left back, Chelsea Patient in the centre, who is a long-time servant of the club, Emily Marsh as well. We've got Hannah Wilson, Kate O'Gara, Cara Fields, Corey Mavett, Jade Parker, Jordan Bailey and Captain Kirsty Chambers, and a full substitutes bench for this afternoon's game. It's also back in the main stadium, which is great to see, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, it's always great to be back, and I'm sure the women love playing on this pitch as opposed to the 3G.
Liverpool Feds about to get this game underway here, and we're off and running back at Broadhurst Park. One addition to the FC United starting 11 who didn't start last week, who I think was a major miss, Jordan Bailey out up front on her own this afternoon, Paul. She's had been brilliant so far this
season.
She's
scored some very key goals in the competition as well.
What do we know about Feds' starting 11, Paul?
What I can tell you is in the league they've won at Stockport County recently. And they had Jess Battle, Fran Davis and Chloe Williams in the side, interestingly. Erin Slade is their leading scorer, wearing 17, if you want one of their players to watch.
Slight change in formation for FC United. We've gone with a back four.
Yeah, possibly after the disasters of last week, a rethink. On that subject, Feds have got a very good defensive record this season. 3 clean sheets out of 4 games played.
Forward the ball goes, but Patient cuts it out, but he's picked up though by the Feds on the left hand side. But a good recovery challenge there by Chelsea Patient, and it's going to be the first corner of the game going the way of the visitors. 6 minutes played here, 0-0 the score.
Yeah, the visitors look like they've got a good pressing game going, and our team have found it difficult to build up from the back so far.
Going to be swung in it comes towards the back post area. It's a free header there on the back post, and sloppy defending that from FC United, and it was Chloe Fisher there, and well, it was a free header, Paul. She couldn't miss from that distance, could she?
Well, again, poor organisation from the back line. They allowed somebody in at the back post to the free header, as you said, and just can't afford gifts like that.
It's going to be a throw into FC just on the halfway line. Throw in taken down the line, free header though, and it's back here with Wilson. Long ball, one bounce, and dealt with here because Jordan Bailey's on it. Jordan Bailey does well, shot comes in. Palm clear there by Derbyshire on a near post. And we saw that, didn't we, Paul, just before the season suspension from Jordan Bailey. You don't want to mess about with the ball.
She's deceptively quick. And the defender kind of dawdled a bit there, wasn't sure what to do. And they nearly paid the price there. Bailey got the shot in, but good reflex save from the keeper.
Well, 22 minutes on the clock here. It's a corner to FC United. Kirsty Chambers to take from this near side. In it comes towards the near post area. It's curled in. Palm clear by the goalkeeper just about. And Emily Marsh can't get to that second ball. And eventually it's cleared by Liverpool Feds. And is there a counter-attack here? It's been launched by Parry. Parry out to the number 17, Slade. Got Hannah Wilson for company. Chelsea Patient trying to win that ball back. Does gets enough on it for Fields to be able to clear it. Jordan Bailey trying to win that ball back, and now forward it comes from Liverpool Feds, and Cross is going to be able to come in here from the left hand side and on the near post. Liverpool Feds there doubling their lead. It was the number 12, Jodie Mortimer, down this left hand side, got to the byline. Cross comes in, and again, Paul, on the near post. I mean, Neil Reynolds always goes on about that run. I mean, it is, you know, rich pickings, isn't it?
But it's textbook stuff. But yes. Slow reactions from the back line again. They didn't really track the run quickly enough. Didn't smell the danger, as they say, you know.
And it was Chloe Fisher there, I think, who was on that near post area to finish. And it comes moments after FC United had their first real opportunity. And a corner as well, because James has seen her do that. She went for goal from the corner.
Yeah.
And Liverpool just got away with it. And then couple of seconds later, they're down the other end to double their lead, as is the way in football sometimes. And well, how do I see get back into this free kick taken?
by Liverpool feds. They line up a shot here. Shot comes in. Down to the right-hand side of Ainsworth, who's following up. Ainsworth with a second save.
Oh, double save.
And how important is that going to be? That was a great save there. The shot came in originally from Seagraves, and a great save down to the right-hand side. And following up was Mortimer. It was a great save by Ainsworth on both counts. FC United need to get a goal back, but importantly, they don't need to concede one. It's going to be another corner with 12 minutes left.
It's 9 shots on target now for the feds.
Cole to take. In it comes. To the near post. God save again from Ainsworth. Well, if FC United do take this to extra time at some point in the next 10 minutes, it will be thanks in no small part to Chloe Ainsworth. She's really kept FC in this game.
That's 10 now.
Throwing taken by Parker. And Liverpool are going to get this ball clear. I think now they give it back to Parker. Parker needs to get this ball into the box. In it comes towards Olivia Smith. It's headed clear. But again, the second ball is picked up by Liverpool feds. Hayes back in. Cleared. Richardson. Richardson's challenged. And Liverpool feds can counter. Patience got to get that ball. And, well, the offside trap comes to FC United's rescue. Hayes over the top to Fields. Fields back to Hayes. Hayes to Parker. Parker on its way to Chambers. Chambers is onside. Can she round the keeper? Keeper's out. Chambers is going to get an opportunity here. It's in. Chambers gets a goal back in the first minute of added time.
20th in the FA Cup.
2-1. And we wait and see how long the referee is going to add. We don't know, unfortunately.
She could blow any moment.
Full time here at Broadhurst Park. And I did say, Paul, it's hope that kills you. And I wasn't expecting Kirsty Chambers to get that goal back in added time. But in the end, it was too late to get this game back all square. The damage done in the first half.
Yeah, I was going to say that the feds gunned us down in the first half, really. For a long period, it didn't look like we were going to get back into it. The late goal by Kirsty, obviously, was a great fillip for the closing seconds, but we just didn't get to grips with the game soon enough. And you've got to give credit to the visitors for a great performance this afternoon.
Two goals coming from Fisher, who was up there for player of the match. I think Mia Parry had a good game too, as did Kinvig over at right back. But who would you give player of the match to? Pope at left back?
Yeah, Pope played pretty well. There was a few good players. I thought Mortimer played well too. They were just too solid for us, I think. We didn't get forward enough in good positions. We didn't create enough chances. And that's basically one of the Feds' strengths is they don't concede goals.
Coming into this game, just a reminder, Liverpool Feds are in the league above. FC United, in this brilliant FA Cup run they've been on, have beaten two teams in that division already. But it was too many trips to the well, essentially. At half-time, we were discussing the Tranmere Rovers game and the effect that had. That goal there at the end for FC United with Chris Chambers, do you reckon that's the kickstart we need now as we go back to the bread-and-butter stuff of the league?
I think it may be. I think that the second half has improved. The changes we made makes you think that maybe we started with the wrong 11 as well. We did look better in the second half in patches, and maybe Cameron might say in hindsight his initial 11 wasn't maybe the right one for this particular game.
It has been one of those FA Cup runs. The last time we got to this stage, it was Chesterley Street. We played it up at Avro, didn't we? And we got a lesson that afternoon.
It was an education in football.
This was a bit more closer. And given the fact that, you know, we did get walloped by Tranmere Rovers last week, there is room for optimism there. And a good second half display. We just didn't really create enough going forward, unfortunately.
No. I mean, just say it had gone into extra time, it might have been a fascinating extra time, but we were too adrift. If we'd been only one down, and that was an equaliser from Kirsty, I think the extra time could have been a very, very finely balanced period of time.
We're going to go in a second, but just a quick mention for the star FC United player, Chloe Ainsworth. Because if we did get an equaliser...
At least three outstanding saves.
At least, wasn't there? She kept us in that tie, pretty much.
Yeah, she just left us with a sniff of something. We couldn't quite get over the line in the closing minutes, but credit to FC for the last 20 minutes, I think. We made changes. Cameron was as positive as he could have been with his substitutions. And we did try and extend them a bit more in the first half, and unfortunately the Feds were just that bit too good for us on the day.
Well, that is the FA Cup journey done for this season. It's been a great FA Cup run. There's been some great performances, but it is back to league matters now for FC, and we'll be bringing you live coverage next weekend as FC United, I'm just scrolling through the list now trying to find the fixture, there is, as FC United will be taking on Cheadle Town Stingers at here at Broadhurst Park. We think that's going to be on the 3G, but we wait and see. It's not like the men's team are going to be using it anytime soon. So, well,
the way it looks, I mean, I guess a decision might be made during this week about the men's situation.
Well, we should say on This Club Is My Club, we've got an interview with Adrian Seddon. We had the meeting last week. It was a great meeting, wasn't it, on Zoom. I saw your name on it.
Yeah.
So you were there. I saw you lurking.
Lurking.
For the men's team, is it viable to come back with a capacity of 300 and no bar facilities and no catering? There's Tier 2 clubs who don't rely on that many attendances but can't start because there's no catering, so we'll wait and see what's going to happen.
Clitheroe have already thrown their hat into the ring.
You can't underestimate how important catering is to non-league football clubs. I feel like we should give some kind of talk to the FA about how non-league clubs operate, because I think they've got this thinking that it's a rope round the pitch and one man and his dog there. So We'll wait and see whether the men's team will be back, but definitely the women's team will be back in action next week in the league. FC United taking on Cheadle Town. So join us here at Broadhurst Park, either in the stadium or on the 3G pitch. We'll have live commentary. But Paul, a big thank you for joining us.
Great, thanks.
A big thank you to Howard as well. Historic this, the first time we've ever streamed a women's match live on telly. So well done. Thank you, Howard. And well done, the umbrella, brought to you by Volvo. So Volvo umbrella in the Netto colours. ask your daddy what Netto is. But anyway, Scandinavian for value is what it was, Paul. We're going to go now. We'll have post-match reaction on This Club Is My Club with Cameron Hussein, and we'll see you all very, very soon. Bye-bye. Well, Cameron, nearly at the end we got back into it, but what's your thoughts after that one?
I think looking back at last week, we just wanted to bounce back and put on a good performance. And especially against the side in the league above, we just wanted to go out and play our way again and beat us again and be confident. And a little bit of a shaky start, which was expected. They got their early goals and they never looked back. But then we put the pressure on them, and 2-1's a very respectable result. Do we think we could have got it to 2-2 and possibly gone to penalties? Yeah, but it's just one of those things. It wasn't meant to be.
Changed the formation. You've been an ardent three at the back for a very long time now. Was that with regards to, you know, the threat that they had, but also Tramway in the back of your mind as well, to go for it at the back?
Yeah, I think it was a bit more tailored towards the Liverpool Feds, kind of their quality and their standard of play, and we thought we can't be quite egotistical in our approach, and it was more a pragmatic approach of trying to just be solid and consistent throughout the whole side and trying to be hard to beat more than anything. So it was, I think, more so for the FA Cup and for a team in the league above.
Let's talk about the team above then. We've obviously played two teams from the division above. This was the third time we played a team. What have we learnt, and do you think we can mix it up next year in the same division?
Yeah, I think it's just the physical element. I think the tactical element. I think there's a lot of experienced players that we've played in the teams we've played against. But I think we're more than capable of pushing for that league straight away as soon as we go in there with a couple of changes maybe. But we've learnt a lot in terms of the quality and the patience, and the standard is quite a big jump, but it's nothing we see that's beyond us, 100%.
Attitude wise, it was a lot different to last week. It was always going to be tough against a team above, especially given, you know, what happened last week. That second half display, you could tell. I mean, what was the team talk like at half-time?
Yeah, we addressed it on Wednesday night before training, and then we addressed it with getting everyone here early again, and it was that desire and that commitment and understanding where you are. You're at a beautiful stadium with some amazing fans, amazing facilities, and we've got to be a little bit grateful for that, and sometimes players seem to forget that. So I think just getting them to be grounded again and be a little bit humble. It's easy to win every week and think it'll turn up and you'll beat every team every week, but you've got to earn it, and they've shown that in that second half performance, the desire, the commitment to put them under pressure, out of their comfort zone, and really thinking about being panicky in that last 5 to 10 minutes.
Good determination from Chambers, and a good finish in the end. But like I said, we just ran out of road at the end, didn't we? If we did get that equaliser, though, it would have been thanks to Chloe Ainsworth, really. I mean, some of those saves.
Honestly, man of the match already, like, hands down, we don't have to vote for it, that kind of thing. She's pulled out some absolutely amazing saves, whether it's in the air and in the top corners or it's on the floor and she's sliding in. She was magnificent and she's an absolute stalwart at the back and an absolute rock. And I think that can be undervalued at times as well, where you expect your goalkeeper to do that. But in these big games, she's come out good and she's done really well.
So you wanted a response, even though we're out of the FA Cup. I think you got that response, certainly in the second half. That takes us to Cheadle Town next week, back to the bread and butter stuff of the league. What do you think heading into that game now? Where are we?
I think I'd have been a little bit more worried if we didn't score. I think we deserve to get the goal. So I think going two games without scoring would have been a tough one to take. I think we've got our confidence back. We're finding our feet again. And I think when it comes back to the league, we're a different kind of team, a different mentality. We want to win and get 3 points every week. So I think the girls, and they've already said it to me in the chat, they can't wait for next week. And we want to finish well before Christmas.
Cameron Hussein there, women's team manager, speaking to me following his side's 2-1 defeat and exit from the FA Cup at the hands of Liverpool Feds. But as we were discussing there, it's back to the bread and butter this coming Sunday as FC United will be hosting Cheadle Town Stingers back in the Northwest Women's League Premier Division, and we'll have full commentary available right here on FC Radio from 2 o'clock on Sunday if you cannot make that game in person. But that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. A big thank you for joining us this week. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings on from the world of FC United by visiting the website fc-utd.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and that's This Club Is My Club for this week. You all take care and stay safe. Bye bye.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.